apart here. E.T.B. Ryans with the same instinctive intelligence Noah must have had created new fascinating interconnection of cosmic batteries, reaching the dimensional scientific switch from receiving to sending cosmic forces. In other words, instead of waves being received, activated and returned, they were able to move with the activated return waves themselves. The whole thing, I found, goes far beyond our present evolutionary pattern. We have isolated ourselves from the life-creating forces of nature. We are in a way similar to other civilizations, like those on planet Malta, which Siti mentioned as the planet where all die of cancer. When I asked her, why do all die of cancer, she said, they advanced from a purely mechanical age towards the age of no return, the age of godliness. In other words, there are people in the universe so far away from God and nature that because of the superiority of their mechanical gadgets, they came to believe that they are like God themselves. The result, as Siti pointed out, may be their destruction by cancer. There are some footnotes here. Osmosis, the transportation of liquid weights into higher levels by using the forces of electricity, could be an example of our present day scientists doing something similar. Of course, in a primitive way, and not at all using the proper cosmic forces. Another footnote out of my diary, in parentheses, is that the biological structure of the spacecraft makes it impossible, even in a technical trained man, to draw a blueprint. What makes our brains, our nerves, transmit orders to our bodies to move heavy weights? The forces of life certainly are similar, but who is qualified to understand this puzzle? Perhaps a futuristic minded biomechanic medical expert? A brain or nerve specialist? Where are the limiting factors? How are they able to control these forces? Yes, they try to explain, but I do not even know how a television circuit works, much less shall I ever understand this. However, one thing I'm absolutely sure that, and that is the naturalistic concepts that out of space visitors perhaps have had about cosmic powers for millions of years made them use the greatest power houses of the universe, cosmic energy bodies, by a trillion times stronger than our sun. There are thousands of different types of spacecraft, but none of them are able to operate without the interdimensional energy craft. Why? Because there are tremendous cosmic empty spaces where they need energy crafts in order to substitute the lack of direct and positive interconnective power. Next is chapter 10, The Murderer. On the second day of my arrival, precisely in the late afternoon hours, I had an example of the different way in which the E.T.B. Ryans treat sinners, or as we would say, in this particular case, a criminal. A message had come to the control ship from one of the guards on duty on the perimeter of the plantation. He had captured a sorry-looking Indian from trying to help himself to some fruit of the young plants. The guard had taken a man to Satura, who sent a signal to Siti, asking that I should come along to the control room in order to see if I can help in the interrogation of a fellow human being. We went along to the control room. The Indian was there, a small, emaciated fellow looking absolutely bewildered. Satura and I questioned the man. He had escaped from prison and was trying to make his way up to the Miriam River. When I asked him why he had been imprisoned, he told me that in fit of blind rage, he had killed another Indian. For this crime, he had been found guilty and sentenced to death. Now, a death sentence in this part is not quite so fearful as it sounds. The usual practice in the case of a condemned man is to lock him in a local jail, which is a very insecure place. The jailers then make enquiries about the man's family, particularly if there are plenty of dinero and can pay to have the prisoner escape engineered. Also a footnote here, Indians must certainly admit their crimes and very often are proud of it, of them. If the family can pay, then the man escapes. If the prisoner's family cannot afford to pay for the escape, or if the man has no family, then he is still allowed to so-called escape, and is shot while doing so. I have it on credible authority that the Leticia province, not a single judicial execution has been carried out. All the condemned prisoners over the long period of time have either escaped or have been shot while trying to escape. It would seem as though our Indian was just about the first genuine escaper. He had killed a fellow Indian. He had been sentenced to death. He had no money, no family, and he had escaped stealing a boat while doing so and trying to make his way into even more remote parts by the way of Miriam River. It was because of his mentioning the River Miriam that I was able later in Lima to place the Itibirain plantation. Well, now I reckon that, although it would be a nuisance for the river traffic, would have to be interfered with the authorities to make some show of trying to recapture the escaped prisoner. I explained this to Satura, who agreed with my reasoning and looked a trifle worried. If the authorities made an intensive search, then they might well stumble upon the Miriam River plantations, and it would be too difficult to trace up the prisoner's route. He had come up to Miriam, had lost his way for a few days in the tortuous gulfs tributary. He made his way back to the mainstream of the lower Miriam and had finally come to roost in the Itibirain settlement, chiefly because he had broken no less than 3 outboard propeller blades and had been unable to continue his journey in the boat he had stolen. With a religious conviction, the Itibirains began to cure the man of all his many ailments. I think that the Indian himself, at the beginning, hardly knew what was happening to him. He was passed from one astro-scientist to the next. I was simply amazed to be eagerness of this man to treat the Indian. As the man had been plagued by insects so that he had had a poisoned eye, septic bites, was worm ridden and emaciated, All of it looked like being a long nursing job. But I had forgotten their great many fantastic vegetative medicines. I watched my friends make a very careful selection of all kinds of juices. These they gave to the man. Within a short time of only 2 days, the Indian refugee was all right. The man who had been ready for the undertaker, even though the vulture birds do this work in the jungle, was again on his feet, prancing about like a 2-year-old. Kupasi Kwadi, he said. Quinces son esta gentles. He wanted to know me from me. Who are these men? Where am I? He kept on speaking in the atrocious Spanish that we had used during his first interrogation. They are friends, I told him. Explorers. That is good. I must make my way to the upper Miriam and then make my way to Curzairo do Sul. Don't worry, my friend will take you there, I'm sure. How? In one of their spacecraft, I said, laughing. Suddenly I dawned upon the Indian that all this must be the work of the devil. You call those things ships, he said. He must have taken the spacecraft for round buildings of some kind. I saw how the man became afraid of what he saw. His reaction was only normal. Naturally, he had seen white people in places like Inquitos and Leticia, and as he spoke Spanish and had been to school, he immediately became suspicious, and suspicion, as we know, creates fear. Right there and then, I wanted to find out what another human being, having had an education, even a rudimentary one, would think about out-of-space people. So I just let him have it, like they say in America. I told him that these people came to the Amazon jungles from another planet. No me digas, don't tell me, he kept repeating over and over again. His eyes rolled as he took in the silvery outline of the control craft. Then hastily he crossed himself and said, Dinos no, Dinos no. There was nothing that could stop him laughing. He kept on laughing for a long time. You see, he had gone a little crazy, as they say in Latin America. Un poco loco. His nerves, shattered already from his exposure to the jungle, was unable to resist. His mind, unable to understand what the friends had come as friends, became unhinged. There was nothing the interference could do for him. For a couple of days, Satura ordered him to be kept inside the health center of the control craft. This is what I noted about the case in my diary. His intrusion taught me one thing. Ordinary human beings are not yet conditioned to accept our friends from outer space. It will be some time before Itiberians shall be able to move freely about our world and be known for what they are. However, the amazing point is that the Itiberians do move about our planet in limited numbers. Satura himself was an example of this. Perhaps he shows his conscience carefully. India, for example. Of course, when they mixed freely, it was with pacific or unsophisticated people, such as the Indian peasants they employed on their plantations. These Indians were employed on very hundred tasks, keeping the area free of insects, because despite of the protective covers, insects did manage to find their way into the seedlings and caplings. The Indians looked upon their employers as light-skinned foreigners from another part of the world. I doubt if they gave a second thought to the rather unusual chin information of the Itibirains. In any case, the simple Amazon Indians, unlike the man from Leticia Jail, would not have believed that people come from other planets. They would have rejected such a story in exactly the same way as most of us would reject the idea of several men having been landed on the moon if we had not seen it on TV. I spoke to Satara about this very point. At first, he agreed, the local Indians looked upon us with some caution, but then Siti and I began to heal their wounds and cure their sick. They soon became to accept us. Perhaps, I wrote into my diary, humanity one day shall accept these people as friends, after we realize they have come to heal most of our century-old moral sickness, and not just our physical ones. Here on this page is also a footnote. To the study of thousands of year-old memory computation, the Itibirains, scientists and religious leaders have come to the conclusion that only the underdeveloped planets, the brutality of man may go so far as to make women responsible, for instance, for birth control, which Itibirains definitely feel is part of man's duty. Also, our disgusting habit of involving women and children in war. Most of the time, our friends from outer space say, women and children do not even know why men are fighting and killing. And next in the book comes a picture of the author Palman and the high priest of the Indians, and next is pictures from India regarding old things as Indian gods, and there are some other pictures here also, among others the ring he got from the Itibirains, which was that communication device. So in the book are also some pictures, but the PDF file make those pictures are not high definition or very good, but it's okay, black and white pictures. Most of the Indians in the deep jungle which run about naked, and also some diary notes which Palman had done and which was used when writing this book, and it's also a picture of the religious symbol known on Itibira too. Chapter 11 is named The Lost City. The Lost City. On the Miriam River plantation, without doubt, the most dangerous man was Turu, the medicine man of the Indian tribesmen. By a rare chance, as a young boy of 15, Turio had the task of watching three captured Peruvian soldiers. These unlucky men, kept as prisoners of the savages for over 2 years, were finally tortured to death during a tribal festival. One of the soldiers, a rather cultivated man, he must have been, taught the Spanish language into Turio, who several months later ventured into the Amazon capital town of Iquitos all by himself. Doing so, he became an important man to his tribe. He was able to steal knives, nails, machetes, and many other important things. But what impressed his fellow tribesmen was Turio's return with a bag full of salt. Salt to the Indians is considered valuable as gold. Because of his new authority and in the struggle for leadership, Turio had a handful of salt, and the old medicine man murdered in cold blood. It was at this time when the Itibiraians, impressed by the linguistic superiority of Turio, began to fear the disclosure of their Amazon base headquarters. They had several other plantations, one I believe to be near the Bolivian Paracatambo River. I don't know if I say these names right. But, well, on the 19th of February 1967, after having had another rather disappointing breakfast, I was asked to talk to Turio and find out, as one human to the next, what his intentions were. This request surprised me very much, as I had always thought the Itibiraians were capable of reading our minds. As a matter of fact, they are able to do so if there is a mind to read. What I was soon aware of after having a chat with Turio was this. He was a man unable to think the way we do, or even to make a plan for the next day. These Indians find enough fruit for day to day. They hunt and fish enough during one single day. Consequently, they do not need to think or plan beyond a 12-hour circle. Should this man, Turio, suddenly get the impulse to disappear and venture down the medium towards civilization, he would certainly do so, but I doubted very much that he would do so in order to betray the Itibiraians. Not that he was not capable of treachery, but this simply would not enter his mind. Besides, who would want to believe him? Suppose one of my readers decide to tell the police authorities about the people from outer space. How would he go about it without making himself suspicious? Imagine a primitive man from a deeper jungle wanting to denounce the presence of our friends. I felt certain that Satura and his scientist crew members had nothing to fear from Spanish-speaking Turio. In a way, I liked Turio. He had all the instincts of an anaconda, the giant Amazon snake, very peaceful when satisfied, but extremely dangerous when hungry or in love. The trouble with Turio was that most of the time he was hungry and in love. Then he disappeared for several days, Citi told me, and returned with fantastic tales about his monkey-killing traps and his solitary war against the moribund Miguels, the greatest of all living spiders, so large that it cannot be covered by a plate. Even though his wives he had three, took up all his attention at night, Turio, when in love with someone, one else's property had killed the watchdog which the suspecting husbands had stationed before certain homes of a neighboring settlement. What his fellow tribesmen liked the best about him, however, was his bravery where the Miguels are concerned. To get as many of these murders is a most dangerous undertaking. A few years ago, several people got killed in the town of Rivalta in Bolivia trying to burn down a house infested with the giant spiders. It so happened that the house was used as a quarter for passing soldiers. 17 of those were murdered at night by the poisonous monsters. The intelligent instinct lowers itself at night and its bite means death. On the day of the execution of the owner of the house who had been condemned, the authorities formed the huge nest of the Apococas, as the Bolivian call the giant insect. I quite well began to understand the unconscious but very deep philosophy of Turu. Not like Shakespeare's to be or not to be, that is the question, but kill or not be killed, that is the question. And sometimes even as a question would be too late. On several occasions during my stay at the Miriam River base, I was able to listen to tourists telling or making violent gestures to his people tending the plants. He wanted them to return to the outside world, and to me he explained that life in the deadly forest is not as bad as we must believe it to be underneath our protective shield. As a matter of fact, he suddenly began to talk about a white man having gone so-called native. He called this man Mori and sometimes Mori's. I later found out that he spoke the truth and that the fellow must have been a renegade from a big European town, perhaps Paris. His name, I suppose, must be Maurice. Turi spoke of him as a real friend. I very much wanted to meet this fellow, but Turi never invited me to come along. An interesting psychological observations concerning Turu I must mention. Unlike the Highland shepherd and the escaped criminal, this primitive man was not at all frightened of the spacecraft. This he proved to me when I talked to him for the first time. It was late in the afternoon, about 5 p.m. when talking to the Indian, when suddenly I saw another control craft coming down. A beautiful spaceship it was, and as we had seen on the outer fringes of the plantation, we were able to observe the big bird coming down only about 900 feet from the protected plantation area, very close to one of the supply craft. It was a real pleasure to see the craft coming to such a soft and easy landing, like settling itself on a carpet of air. Out stepped the most audacious group of wild-looking but smiling savages, followed by a bunch of serious ETV Ryan's explorers. There was plenty of excitement, but what really made me shake my head was this. These, perhaps the most feared man-eaters of the endless forest, with ears of pendulous lobes and quills thrust from the side to side through their nostrils, were laughing and giggling like little girls. What an execution it must have been. What fellows, I noted into my diary as some of the happiest hours I spent with these people. They were celebrating the discovery of a huge pre-Columbian symbol, a religious symbol of great significance to their civilization. This symbol, of which I include the sign D.T.B. Ryans had discovered at what they called Lenny's Lawn, the lost city, as city was unable to explain, was able to explain. I understand this Lenny's Lawn city to be the ancient town of several million people now buried underneath a layer of 7 feet of tropical growth. Here I stop this part. I've come to, well, it says 117 in the old book, so I make a stop on this other field, but it continues further on other files.